our show today.
Blog Talk Radio.
I am your host, Wanda McKinley, and Stephanie Kennedy Alford is the co-host. I am the founder of We Are Survivors, which is a nonprofit organization. Our purpose is to provide a stable environment for abused women and children by providing temporary shelter, counseling, and employment training. We want to help women transition from abusive situations to being self-sufficient women in society. We Are Survivors' vision is to empower women and to show them that they can and will survive and thrive in society on their own, and to uplift them and provide them a new life with a new perspective of what a normal life should be by enhancing and elevating their lives. I am a survivor of domestic violence. I was raped from the age of 7 to 18 by my biological father as well as my stepfather. My ex-husband was also very abusive. He was sexually, financially, verbally, emotionally, and physically abusive. I was with him for 12 years. God has now called me to be transparent so that I may help women and children who have walked or may still be walking in my shoes. Hello, everyone. Welcome to our show. Hey, Stephanie, how are you doing? All right, at least turn the lights on so she can talk back. That may help.
Are you there,
Stephanie? I can.
I'm here.
What are you my doing?
Okay, I'm good. What about yourself?
I'm great. So what we got going on this week?
Okay, we currently have several fundraisers that we are doing, and we hope that anybody listening can support us. We have our Compass Bank fundraiser. If you have the Compass Bank account, if you link it to We Are Survivors, or if you open an account and you link it to We Are Survivors, then Compass Bank will give us donations each time you use your debit card. We also have Kroger Plus. If you connect your Kroger Plus rewards card to We Are Survivors, if you just go to Kroger.com and choose, make sure it's registered, and then choose We Are Survivors, then you'll be linked, and each quarter they will send us a donation according to what you spend. We also have Tum Thumb. If you go to TumThumb.com and print out the form, or you can contact us and we can send you a form with our number on there, and you can connect to us that way. And then we also have the CPN discount card that's only $15, and you can use it all over the U.S. So if you're interested in any of those that I named, then you can contact me. My number is 817-320-2571. Just text me that you're interested, and I'd be happy to get you started. And, Wanda, I know that there is one other that you just mentioned today. You want to share that one with us?
I surely will. It's another great opportunity. It's actually a lot of fun for people to participate, and I'm very grateful for this young man. And what it's called is, and its offer can be found on Facebook, and it's called the Purple City Project. And the Purple City Project is a domestic violence awareness photo shoot campaign. And you can book a photo shoot for your personal self, family shoot, professional group, whatever the case may be. It is a professional photographer. He goes by City, a.k.a. Charles of Photography. And his last name is G-B-A-D-E-B-O. And what it is he has two packages. There's a $55 package, which is valued at $100. It is a 20-minute session. You can have up to four people. It is unlimited shots, one look, and two edits. And that's, like I said, $55. And what he's going to do is donate a portion of the proceeds to We Are Survivors, and I'll explain to you what that's going to be used for. He also has an $80 package, which is valued at $160. It is a 45-minute session. with up to four people, unlimited shots, two looks, and four edits. And he has other options that are also available. And when you contact Charles or text him, his number is 214-591-1370. Again, his number is 214-591-1370. And the funds that he will be donating to We Are Survivors will be used to provide hotel rooms for women and children who cannot find a bed or a shelter. Something is going on, and they need to be removed from that situation immediately. What we're finding out is Dallas County, majority of the time, do not have any beds available. And unfortunately, that is a fact. It used to be where they could contact Tarrant County for availability, and now Tarrant County is turning away Dallas County residents because they need their beds. So this young man has come up with the Purple City Project, which will allow people to take pictures, something purple, background purple, a scarf, lipstick, pants, shoes, socks, whatever it is, something purple to represent your support, your awareness when it comes to domestic violence. And once again, like I said, his name is Charles. You can also find the Purple City Project on Facebook. And his name again is Charles. It's 214-591-1370. That is an excellent way to give back to the community, support We Are Survivors, and then you can have memorable pictures for your home or for your office. So that's another new fundraising event that we have that is, so we really are excited about that. God is opening so many doors for us so that we can provide a way for women and children that need it. Now, we have a young lady on our show today. And I asked her before we started how to pronounce her first name correctly, and she said it. I pronounced it right off the air. Hopefully I can do it again on the air. And, oh, my goodness, now I'm, like, scared. Miss Johnson, can you please tell me how your say your first name again, because it's so unique.
Hello, my name is Embriel.
Embriel. See, and I had it on the tip of my tongue. How are you today?
See, you said it good. Thank you.
See, I'm kind of picky about people mispronouncing my, and my name is really simple, but you'd be amazed at how many people say my name wrong. So I just always want to make sure that I pronounce people's names right. That's important to me. We are glad to have you on our show today. Now,
thank you so very much. You guys are doing some great things.
Thank you. You are a member of our We Are Survivors group on Facebook, and we thank you for that and your support. And on our show, we strive, like I said, to motivate and empower women. And so can you just tell us, you know, a little bit about yourself and how domestic violence has touched you in your life.
Well, again, my name is Embriel, and I personally had never experienced domestic violence, not watched my mother, my aunties go through anything of the sort. However, I fell in love and I got married to this guy that I thought was so wonderful. Well, and he was for the first couple of months. However, things started to change, but I didn't know the signs. I wasn't aware of what to look for. So it was scary. I didn't know who to go to. I was embarrassed. I didn't want to tell my friends that I had even got caught up in this situation, so to speak, because, you know, we think that certain things are not supposed to happen to us.
Right.
So I feel like it's very important today that all women, young ladies, know what's right and what's wrong in a relationship. And love does not represent being hurt. But the first time,
repeat that statement.
love does not represent hate or hurt. He the first time hit me for a little of nothing. I mean, we were holding a conversation, we disagreed in the conversation, and bam, he backhanded me. And I wear glasses, so the glasses like flew across the room. That's how hard he hit me.
Wow.
And I think I was stunned in the moment, in disbelief. And again, I was the little precious girl of my family who nobody was ever supposed to treat that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I got wrapped up in, I can't tell my dad, I can't tell my aunties, and so I tried to hide it. So hiding it, of course, becomes putting on your best outfit and your best makeup and your best
mm-hmm.
hair to go along with your best smile that you think is covering up your pain. And when I say that lightly because all the people that I thought I was hiding it from, I really wasn't. They knew. They heard. You know, they didn't know how to approach it because I hadn't told them.
Mm-hmm.
So today, in my word, I want to tell any woman out there, when somebody hits you, the first half a nanosecond, it's time to go. And I say that because I started finding myself drowning in excuses of why I had to stay, why I had to make this work. How could I help him? What makes him do these things? I know he loves me. And it gets ridiculous. Because you even run out of excuses for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So I did all that I could. I was in my marriage for 4 years. And from the very first slap, it escalated. It got worse. It got to the kickings and, you know, just literally slamming my body around. And burning me with an iron. The control over it to me is what it seemed like escalated him. The more that he thought he had control of me, my life, and the situation, the more and more escalated it got every time. And another big sign is isolation from your families.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't want you to call your mom, they don't want you to hang out with your sister, they don't want you to hang out with your best girlfriends. If you're in the grocery store together and you see an old classmate, but you got to hurry up and run on aisle 3 because you can't speak to this person because you know the consequences from even speaking to an old friend in a grocery store is going to be bad for you when you get home.
Right.
Or as soon as you get in the car.
Right.
It was almost like an outer body experience because I kept telling myself, this is not supposed to be happening to me. I'm better than this. I'm bigger than this. And it got worse, and it got worse, and it got worse, and I had 2 little children. And at that point, when the family did start to realize something bad was going on, they wanted to take charge. They wanted to jump in the middle. But then you really don't want to get your family involved because you don't know how it's going to end.
Right.
So then I'm like, I don't want my dad to go to jail. I don't want my dad to mess him up. I don't want him to mess my dad up. And, you know, I had so many emotions going on. But after 4 years of, I mean, just, I couldn't be 5 minutes late from work. There was no such thing as being stuck in traffic. I mean, all kinds of stuff while I was pregnant with my daughter. I never gained a pound from stress and depression. It was horrible. But I made it out. I made it out with sense of mind. I made it out with limbs. I made it out with a sane mind to know that, hey, this roller coaster has finally come to an end. It's finally come to a halt and a stop, and I can get off now.
Right.
So I got off. I held my head up. I grabbed my two little kids by the hand, and we've been on our own now for the last 10 years. And I thank God, and I try to tell my friends and my sisters, it's not worth it. When somebody tells you they love you, and then 5 minutes later, they're slapping you, they're kicking you, they're demising you, and taking your self-esteem and just, you know, it's just, it was horrible. I couldn't believe it.
What do you think was your point when you said, okay, it's time for me to get off? What in your life at that moment when you said enough is enough, what was it that opened your eyes, gave you enough strength to get off of this roller coaster ride? What was it?
Well, on top of the abuse came along with alcoholism and drug abuse.
Mm-hmm.
So when a person is, sometimes I think of it as a demonized state, because you're under the influence of these drugs and you're doing all of these things and you don't really even realize that you're doing them. So that means that when you think what might be minor escalates to something that is another out-of-body experience. But what made me finally get off this roller coaster was he had been on a drug binge, and he was coming in and out of the house. He was taking my car. So he would take the car, he would go get the drugs, he would come back. So he would use the drugs in the home with me and my children. And then he would snatch all the phones out the wall, because he's hallucinating at this point. So he takes all the phones out the walls. He, you know, doesn't let you leave, takes your keys. And it's almost like being tortured in your own home.
Mm-hmm.
And it was almost like, I have to keep you here at this point because I don't want you to be able to go and tell somebody else what's going on right now. I think that was a big part of it. You know, we have to keep this bottled up, you know, and I have to keep you close to me to make sure that you don't tell somebody what kind of person I am. So what I had to do is I finally made up in my mind that my children were worth more. And if my mm-hmm. mother thought enough of me not to let me grow up in such an environment, how could I possibly let my own children grow up in this environment? So once I got those thoughts connected together, I got up one morning. I got my children dressed for school. And while we were getting dressed for school, we didn't even have a car because he wasn't there. He came home about 30 minutes before it was time for us to leave. I walked out. Okay, you have a good day. I was very nice. I was very polite. When I put my children in that car, at that moment when I backed out that driveway, I knew I would never go back.
Wow.
I took my children to the babysitter. I told the babysitter what I was going to do. Now, he thinks I'm going to work, but I didn't do that. I was finally at the point where I have to tell somebody about this nightmare. So, like I said, we left the house. When I dropped the kids off, I went downtown to the Jack Evans building at the headquarters. and I spoke to domestic violence or a detective in that department, and I told him everything that I had been going through. Well, of course, because 911 wasn't dialed at the moment, or they didn't walk in and they didn't witness this, and they were like, well, all we could really do is send him a misdemeanor ticket. Mm. Well, I wanted him removed out of my home.
Right.
So he told me at that time all of the additions that had been added to the stalking laws in the state of Texas. So when he explained that to me as far as taking phones out of the walls and not allowing you to connect with your family, and you know, there was a lot of things that fell under the new law. Give you a few minutes. I'm a come back and you let me know what you want to do. He left out. I prayed, and when he opened that door again, I told him, let's do it. Because I got to get this man away from me. I got to get him mm-hmm. out of my life. I got to get him as far away from my children as I can, because I have to reestablish myself. And I couldn't do that with him over to his mother's or his cousin's, because he was going to keep coming back. So right. the stalking law opened up room enough for me to be able to get him in jail. And for me to get this case that I could get him away from us, because I knew he was going to come wherever I went. My family, a lot of my family and friends, I'll also say, you're going to lose some people along the way. Everybody ain't going to take that ride with you. They don't want that drama at their address. They don't want you and your kids to come over there because they think he's going to come there looking for you.
Mm.
So when those people turned me away, I said, I've got to do this. I did it all by myself. I didn't go to no counsel. The one time that I went downtown, I was going to get a restraining order on him after he burnt me with the iron. They took pictures of me. They were serious about their business, but I wasn't ready. All I could think is, this is my child's father. This is my husband. All other excuses that come up. So I didn't move forward at that time because I just wasn't at that place. Now, it only took me 4 years to get to that place, which is a long time when you're going through pure hell.
Mm-hmm.
But some people go on for 10 years. Some people go on for 20 years.
Yeah.
But I want to tell the sisters today, that first day is enough. You don't have to wait around and find out how it's going to turn out, because it might just not turn out for you like it turned out for me.
You want to tell the sisters and the brothers, because we have some brothers that are being abused as well.
Well, I want to tell the sisters and the brothers. And brothers, believe me, we all have to know that love just does not hurt, not like that. We've had our hearts broken because somebody broke up with us. But when somebody that can say that they love you can put their hands on you, kick you in your ribs, black your eyes, knock your teeth out, story is not about my sister. But I'm just going to throw this in for an added bonus. My sister was with the guy. She lived with him. They lived actually two doors down from me. And I was with my grandparents. He was very abusive of my sister. And I was always very protective of my sister. So he didn't like me. Whenever I would come there, he would come to the door and not allow her to come to the door. Well, one day, I was at work. My grandfather called me, and he said, baby, something is wrong. And I said, Daddy, what's wrong? And he said, your sister just came home, She had a bad sized towel, or a dry off towel, the large one, up against her mouth, and it was full of blood. So I said, Daddy, where did she go? Well, she was with him, so she didn't want my grandpa to take her to the hospital because he was going to the hospital with her. So you done knocked her teeth out, but you're going to go to the hospital with her, and y'all going to go on the bus. But he knew that my grandpa wasn't going to allow him in the car. So anyway, I called my dad. So my dad goes to the hospital. Well, the guy knew my dad was coming, so the guy was gone by the time my dad got there. Three days later, when I saw my sister again, that guy knocked out all of her front teeth with one lick.
Wow. Wow.
With one lick, he knocked out four or five of them right across the front.
Wow.
And when you love your sister the way I love my sister, I could not stand to look at her like that. That cut deep.
Was that enough for her? Did she get out of it at that point?
She didn't. She did not. As a matter of fact, when my daddy went to the hospital, there was a security guard at the door. When my dad got to the door, and I guess because of the situation, well, first off, she was in the emergency room line. She told them she had been in a car wreck, but she came in with him. And before they knew it, he was gone. So they knew she was lying. But when my dad got to the door where the security guard was standing, he told him who he was there to see. The security guard walked my daddy away from that door and told him, one, they know she lying. Two, I want you to know that he's gone. He's already left. And we can just imagine what you were coming here to do. So he had to make sure that my daddy was straight, you know, in his mind and stuff before he actually let him in. But the guy had taken off. He knew not to be there when my daddy got there. But my sister looked up out of that hospital bed at my daddy, and what she said to him were these exact words. She said, Daddy, please don't hurt him, because I'm just going to go back.
Wow.
She had him.
Wow.
She sure did. And my daddy left there, and he called me, and he said, some things daddy just can't fix.
God.
That's sad.
But you got to tell somebody. You got to share. You have to. I just thank God. I thank God that my sister made it. I made it. All the other women who made it. And the ones that did not make it. Oh, my God. These people, they don't realize even until it's too late. It can be too late.
Did she ever get out of it?
She did. She did.
How long did it take for her to get out of it?
I guess she may have been with him another year. I don't know. I try to blank that out because My sister and I are the only siblings. Our mother died when we were 17 and 18 years old. So the bond that we have, you know, and I guess I should have known because of what I went through with my sister. But again, I was that little girl that just thought, that ain't gonna happen to me. You know, that little sassy girl who has had everything and everybody's treated her like a queen and nobody's ever hurt her. And I'm like, that ain't got my name on it. But it can happen. Mm-hmm. It can happen to anybody.
That is so true.
But It can happen to anybody. And right now today, what I tell myself, you know, I still have a lot of friends who say, well, if she like it, I love it, or you know, kind of candid stuff about people's relationships and stuff and things that people go through. My thing is, you can't never judge nobody.
That's right.
You can't ever look down on nobody, because we all got some cross to bear.
Yes, we do.
Yep. We don't ask for it. It doesn't have to be asked for. It doesn't have to be deserved. You just don't know.
And my thing is to just don't believe God put us on this earth to hurt one another like that, or just mm-mm. don't believe it. I was speaking with a young man yesterday, and Stephanie and I have come across so many men that have reached out to us for help. And my thing for them is, unfortunately, because we're women, you know, we don't understand how a man thinks. We don't understand why a man would react or do what he does to whatever situation. And I was talking to this gentleman last night, as a matter of fact, and he has the purest heart and wants to, you know, be a part of We Are Survivors to be able to help and mentor men. But what he told me was, he said, by no means am I trying to give a reason for a man, because there is no reason for a man to put his hand on a woman. He said, but what happens is, in a man's mind, he said, there are women that try and provoke men. And I sat in a anger management class, and actually was a speaker. They're called BIT classes, where men that have been arrested for domestic violence, they have to attend, like, I think it's a 26-week class. And so I sat in two classes, told my story, explain to them what the woman that they say they love, what she's feeling at the time that you're hitting her, what's going through her mind when you're raping her, what's going through her mind when you're choking her. So I had the opportunity to talk to these men.
Wanda? Did you say something?
I'm still here.
Yeah, you went silent.
Oh.
Yeah, everything
okay.
did.
Oh, okay. But I was just saying, I had an opportunity to sit in this class and talk to these men that abused their women, that were arrested. Now they're felons, and they have to go through this 26-week class. And quite a few of them said that what happens when you get a woman that provokes them. And this man that I was talking to last night, he simply said, what happens in a man's mind, he said, I can't speak for every man, he said, but some of the men that I have, you know, worked with and spoken to, women use their mouths sometimes as weapons, because we say things, he said, and once again, I am not saying by any means, this is the way a man is thinking, a man that snapped. And we had a man on our show before, Oscar Strange, that also was like, he just like blacked out. And this gentleman said to me, what happens is sometimes when a woman is verbally attacking this man, he said the men that choose to hit a woman is trying to shut her up. And instead of a man walking away, or trying to talk to her, or try to get an understanding of what she's feeling, because you have men that, and we had someone say this, they black out, and what they think about is shutting her up. And to hear a man say that to me, it made me think, like, okay, so it's because these men –
And I truly believe a lot of abusers came from an abusive home. They've been around it. They've seen it because it's a learned behavior. We did not come on this earth with a fighting spirit. That was learned. It's something that you witnessed, you were a part of, because you have men that tend to their women, that listen to their women. And even when we get upset, okay, to learn how to agree to disagree. But he says the men that he's talked to that have put their hands on women, their thought process at that time was, that was my only way of shutting her up. But once again, my question to him was, who gives that human being the right to think they can control somebody else?
That see, woman, and you used the word that I was thinking. It's just the control thing.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's like a power-seeking type mentality, and it drives them. And I just simply believe once they get, okay, let me see how far I can push it now. How much further can I go here? How much further, you know, the hit. First, it may be verbal. Well, then if we accept that, then it, and you're right, it escalates. Because what happens is when they see that, oh, okay, so I got away with this. Oh, let me see if I do this or do that. And it escalates. Women, they never stop. They always try and see how far they can push that envelope. And by the time they've pushed it so far, we are so lost. Our self-esteem is gone. Majority of the time, our will to live is gone. And a lot of times when those moments occur, we're just waiting for them to be over so that we can get back to whatever it was we were doing before. And unfortunately, for women that are abused, it becomes, like I said, their normal way of life. I spoke with a lady who knew every Friday and Saturday, without fail, he was going to jump on her. She knew it. So she embraced herself every Friday and Saturday and went on about her normal business the rest of the week, because that was her normal life.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
We have a caller that wants to say something. Can we? Can I go
sure,
ahead and
okay,
open
actually, you sure can.
Okay, your mic is live.
Hello, ladies. How y'all doing?
Good. How are
you?
I'm good. My name is Marlon, right? And I'm sitting here listening to all the comments and reasonings for domestic violence from men. And I agree 100% on both parts. First, I want to say men should not hit women, period, regardless of how far they're being pushed or how much they're being provoked. Because a man should have self-control within himself, just being a man, period. And also, women have that instinct to push a man to his boiling point, which is not right at the point, which is not right either. But still, it reflects back onto the man, his control of self, to allow him to be pushed that far. Now, if he's with someone that's going to allow him to push him that far, he doesn't have any business with that person. He should leave and not let it escalate to violence. That's a respectable thing to do, because he has to understand we as men are given a gift, which are y'all women, that we should respect, honor, and love regardless of what goes on, because y'all are the weaker vessel. We should respect that and honor that, because y'all are gifts from God that we have to respect and deal with whatever consequences that may come our way. Because at the end of the day, we have to look at ourselves and see what was it that we did to provoke that woman to go to that point of pushing us to violence, which shouldn't occur anyway. I just wanted to share that, and it was a lot of good points y'all was making, a lot of good things y'all were saying, and I just wanted to intervene and share that a little bit with y'all.
Well, we really appreciate it, and thank you for that. We always look forward to hearing from a male's perspective and a male's point of view. Yeah. Because it is really important to understand. Some people laugh at Steve Harvey, but Steve Harvey is on to something, because we think, men and women think totally different. We perceive things totally different, and our understanding is so different. And it really takes for us to understand one another, to be able to know how to treat someone. And for me, I just personally believe if you love someone, I know we all get angry and upset, but intentionally trying to push someone's buttons, that I don't understand. But I really do thank you for sharing your thoughts with us.
No problem at all. Thank you for allowing me.
Any time that you want to share, just any time that you know, have anything that you want to say. And I guess we're going to see, we do have some other callers, and see if they might want to say something. Let's see. Now, if your number ends in 2389, you're actually live. Is there anything that you want to say?
I did not have a voice, girl. I don't have a voice. Watching is anything, but I do agree with everything that the gentleman said.
Okay.
Sometimes we as women, we do push them to that level, but that is not an excuse for us to be hit on, because we're not a pin cushion. We're not a boxing thing for them to be hit on us.
Exactly. That is so true.
I think the lady has awesome testimony. And as far as her sister go, there is just no excuse for nobody to keep hitting on you like that. I was chased with a machete by my ex-husband.
Oh,
but
wow.
I left. I waited till he went to sleep. I called somebody to pick me up, and I left. But just like her, I couldn't tell my father. My father went to his grave not knowing what had happened. But he did see when he put his hand through my window one time. But I filed for divorce the next day. Unfortunately, I wasn't hit on and beat on like that, but I was verbally abused and things like that. But any woman, I would tell them they need to get out while they're ahead. The first time somebody hit on you, it's time to leave. Sometimes we feel like we're not strong enough or we can't tell anybody, but we have to be able to be open to some. Body. We have to have that one somebody that we can tell in order to leave if we're not spiritually strong enough.
Right, and sometimes
that is true.
Some of us don't have that one person to tell, or we feel we don't have that one person. We hadn't really found who that one person is, and so we're so scared to leave. I know that was my situation. I was definitely didn't feel that anybody would really understand, or, you know, they were going to laugh, or, you know, I didn't really have their support. So I was one of those that I was scared to leave, and I stayed in it for a long time because of that.
I stayed in mine because I didn't want anybody to know. I really didn't want to get married. I married for all the wrong reasons. So I stayed in that situation because I couldn't tell nobody. I was embarrassed, just like you. I was embarrassed. I couldn't tell my family members, because they would have been trying to go to jail, and I didn't want that, because that was my mess, and I had to clean it up. So that was one reason why I kept it to myself. It was years later before I told anyone that he had chased me with a machete, but I did call his uncle and say, look, I'm leaving, and I don't know when I'll be back. Well, I came back later to get my clothes, but I left.
Wow.
Anyway, well, we thank God that you were one of the brave ones that you did leave, because, you know, so many are not brave enough to leave, and you know most of them what their end results are. So it's up to us that did have the courage to leave and everything to, you know, stand together and try to help those that are still in it, try to, you know, show them that they can get out of it.
So I hope y'all are.
We think we can help him. And once they shed a tear, because my ex-husband used to cry, sorry. And so I say, okay, I forgive you. I can help you.
Uh-huh.
But
yeah,
then after that, with that knife situation, I didn't want nobody to find my body chopped up. So no.
Right.
But yeah,
wow.
First I thought I could help him because I didn't want nobody to know.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's all I have to add, Ms. McKinley. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, let's see. Do we have anyone? Okay. Caller, if your number ends in 2850, if you have anything that you want to say, I'm sorry, you are actually live. Is there anything that you want to say?
Hi, Ms. Wanda. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am good. This is Mrs. Williams.
Hi.
Hi. I just want to tell everyone, you know, it's when you're in those situations, like you were saying, it's hard to get out because I, too, you and I have discussed this before, that I, too, have been was in the situation where I was afraid to tell anybody because I didn't want anybody to know and I didn't feel like anybody cared. Which is wrong, because there's more people out there that care than we realize.
Right.
And so we, you know, and we, and I understand it for me, oh my gosh, I didn't, you know, even to this day, I didn't really want anybody to know, but now my whole family knows. And it's probably the best thing I ever did was get out. So, I mean, you know, anybody
yes.
out there, if you feel like, you know, you're afraid because you think you're alone, you're not alone. I just want you to know you're not alone. There's so many people out there that care and are willing to step up and help you.
And I know that is the biggest concern or the biggest fear for a lot of women that are in abusive situations is that they are alone and that no one cares and they're going to be judged and people are going to turn their backs. So I do know that is a lot of reasons why a lot of women stay, because they feel no one is there is going to help them. They feel that, you know, their backs are going to be turned. The family is going to say something. Friends are going to say something or laugh or don't believe them. But you are right. There are a lot of women out here that are survivors, that are willing to help, that want to help, that want to motivate, that want to educate, that want to give you that little glimpse of light to let you know that there is light at the end of the tunnel and that you can become a survivor and not remain a victim. That,
exactly.
Yeah,
yes. And don't be afraid, you know, because fear is, you know, it's not real. It's just fear. And we fear because we're afraid we're not going to be able to support our children. We're not going to be able to afford the diapers. We're not going to be able to feed them. And those are some of the things that keep us in that situation. Plus the fear that they tell you they're going to kill you, you know, if you leave, and they're
right.
going to kill the children if you leave. And it's just, that's exactly what it is. It's fear. But there's so much help out there, and I just wish that I had known it 50-some years ago rather than wait until just 4 years ago to find out that there's people out there and there's organizations out there that are willing to help.
Yes.
And I just, you know, if you're in that situation and you're feeling low right now and you want out, just, you know, call the 1-800 hotline number and talk to people, talk to Miss Wanda, you know, just anybody that's, you know, out there to help you. Even your doctors, you know, they have the numbers to different shelters and things to help. It's not worth staying.
It's not.
It's not.
Your life, your children's lives, sometimes it even spills into your family and friends' lives. Depend
exactly.
on it. Because your decision, a lot, and we think that we're protecting everyone else by keeping it to ourselves, by dealing with it by ourselves. And what happens is we're hurting the ones that are around us, because there are people that really see what's going on. but a lot of times are afraid to approach the individual regarding the situation. But we think we're hiding it, and in actuality, people see it, and it tears them up. I had a woman that's like, her niece is going through a situation, and she's like, it's like I'm in it with her because I want her out of it. I see what's going on. But, you know, she's not that strong yet to leave. And all I can tell her is to be that supportive person that she needs. But what we don't realize is we also hurt the ones that are close to us because they really want us to be in a safe place.
Exactly. Really, and, you know, we're hurting our children. And we hurt our children when we stay in those situations because then they're learning that's the way it's supposed to be, and it's not.
Yes.
So, you know, you're not
learned behavior.
Right, and you're not just hurting yourself. You're hurting your children as well. You're hurting everyone in your family. Even, like you said, your friends, your neighbors, anybody that really knows what's going on, you're hurting them too.
That's true.
That's the best thing I did was get out of my relationship. I mean, that was the best thing I did. But I had to wait to be almost killed to do it. And that's the sad part. I should have left sooner.
Yeah, and everyone has their different trigger points. I know for me it was my child. And like Ms. Johnson, her reasoning was her children. You know, for you it was your life. For a lot of us women, there are different triggers that occur that we say, oh, okay, I'm done. And everyone is different. Everyone's, you know, the way that we process things is so different. And that's why I tell people when they ask me, well, what should I do? They know someone. I said, just let them know that you're there for them. Don't ask them why they stay in. And I always say that as much as possible. Do not ever ask a woman or even a man that's in an abusive situation and you know they're in an abusive situation. Even though you want them out of it, don't ask them why are they still there. Why do you keep going back? Because all that's going to do is make it's going to make that person feel like you're not there. If you keep questioning my judgment, when you're in an abusive situation, your judgment is so clouded that all you want is someone to say, "I'm here for you." So when you get ready to reach out for that life jacket, you know it's there. That is the most important thing for anyone to hold on to is when a victim knows in the back of their mind that there is a life jacket waiting for them. When they get ready to jump off that boat into that ocean to swim to safety, knowing that there's someone there that's going to help them to shore, that means a lot. But you've just got to give that person their time to get to that point and pray that it's before they're no longer here on earth.
Yes, ma'am.
I like the way you put that. I love the way you put that. See, mine was roller coaster, yours was the life jacket, but I like that.
Thank you. They just came off the top of my head.
You're welcome.
I just see, you know, you can be on this beautiful yacht, you know, people, oh, wow, the glamour, you know, and you can be in this house with a nice white picket fence, you know, and people see the outside. They don't know what's on the inside. And if you can't swim, but you keep looking at that water like, okay, I know I can't swim, but I know I'm probably safer in this water than I am on this yacht. But I'm safe up here. I'm dry up here. I don't have to worry about trying to swim or sharks. But I'm looking at this water, and I just know if I jump into it, I can swim to safety. But if I can't swim, what's going to help me get to shore? If that's that one family or friend that says, I got you, that one life jacket. So when people keep looking over that yacht and say, one day I'm going to jump, because they know it's a life jacket out there waiting for them, they'll eventually jump. But if they looking out there,
that was that day I pulled out that driveway. That morning when I pulled out that driveway, ladies, I knew this going to be over with today. This is going to be over with today. I just had to get to that point. Because my thing, I spent so much time trying to fix this person.
Mm-hmm.
You can't fix people. People got to want to fix themselves. I wanted to fix everything he went through as a kid. I wanted to fix everything that he was going through with not being able to find a job, everything he was going through in the legal system. I wanted to fix everything. I couldn't fix it. Mm-hmm. And when I finally realized I couldn't fix it, as a matter of fact, I got to keep me whole. It was over.
We can't fix broken.
No.
And I do want to insert, too, because this past weekend, speaking of all of the domestic violence and the spouse abuse, I do want to say a thank you to DeShonda Paris. DeShonda Paris invited We Are Survivors to a play called Cease Fear. And this play was powerful. It touched on domestic violence. It touched on child molestation. It touched on verbal abuse from your parents and how, you know, you as kids grow up and change the way you are, who you are, because of the words that was coming out of your parents' mouth that were not kind. And it touched sexual harassment at work. And her play was so powerful. The young lady that was sitting next to me, there was a very unsettling part in the play where the supervisor actually made his employee perform oral sex on him at the job. And it was so powerful and so believing that the young lady that was sitting next to me, that this was a survivor, she couldn't even watch it. And this was Mrs. Paris's first play that she wrote. She produced it and she directed it. And I said she did an awesome job. She has it's called the Cease Fear Foundation, and their mission is to empower others to release fears that have kept in bondage. And when you kept saying fear, it's like, okay, let me insert this. And her saying is the fears that have been holding you from walking towards your destiny in life. So her thing is to release your fear. Mm-hmm. And for more information about how, you know, her whole setup regarding releasing your fear, you can email her at shundaparis@gmail.com. So it's shundaparis@gmail.com. And that is her thing. Fear. I also, this hour goes by so fast, I also want to acknowledge another organization that We Are Survivors have partnered up with, because our youth are so important. And because youth are watching their parents, and We Are Survivors want to help break this cycle. We have partnered up with S&F Athletes, which provides students with services in a respectful and dignified manner without regard to race, color, sex, age, handicap, religion, or national origin. They identify and address the needs. They're actually located in Irving, so they work in the Irving community, and they partner up with students to develop mutual solutions to lead them to self-sufficiency. They work with volunteers, agencies, and organizations, and looking for that greater impact and effectiveness, and just to get the word out. Now, they are located, like I said, in Irving at 3901 Jackson Street, Suite 120, Irving, Texas, 75061. Their number is 972-514-1485. Their email address is S as in Sam, F as in Frank, staff, STAFF at afathletes.com. So that is SFstaff at SFathletes.com. Well, that was a mouthful. I want to thank everyone today that's been on the show. Ms. Johnson, thank you so much for your testimony as well as your sister's testimony. That was very powerful, and I continuously pray for your family. You all are a walking example of what we, who were victims, are now survivors, look like. And I just commend you for sharing your sister's testimony. I really do. We also have our empowerment group meetings every first Wednesday of the month at Glam Pam's Upscale Resale Store, which is located at 901 North Polk Street, Suite 345, DeSoto, Texas, 75115. Feel free to contact me or Stephanie with any questions or comments and survival stories. We do have a young lady out of Australia that will start writing for us. I'm really excited about that. May God bless you and your family. I hope something on this show was said that touches your heart. We're here to help, support, to guide, and listen and uplift you. In the name of Jesus, we worship his holy name. God bless everyone.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.